Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.
Everybody to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Thank you all very much for being here another day of Monday. Thank God for another day of being here, making it to the time with you. Another session, another topic. To Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio in New York City, currently with isolradio.com. You can hear Barry do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, he is gracing New York with the Best of Live R&B events all over the best of venues as the CEO of Track One Entertainment. To my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yever, TJ Domeka, Rodney Williams, Monster Miles, and of course our activist and panelist, Deacon Zeddy Williams in Toledo, Ohio. I want to thank my starting panelists, Patrick Irvine, Professor Carlton Jones, Darlene and Arlene, Altarit Atkins and Salo Jenkins. You guys are always keeping the discussions full of contributions and wonderful community stuff. I want to thank my social media groups, the On the Edge Listeners Lounge. Our sponsor tonight, Mark Pittman, and his two groups, Black History Suppress and the Real World Black News and Discussions Group. I want to thank Linda Miller and the Black Love and Conversations Group, Marvin Young and the Grapplers N Group. What about us with Professor Carlton Jones and our newest edition, Urban Intellectuals, Open Discussion with Patrick Irvine? All of you have made this show and this discussion very, very interesting and very, very informative. So I thank you all very much for what you have done. All right, we are going to discuss tonight from a solution level, hopefully, a road to repair, trying the road to repair homeschooling our black children. And we are going to be bringing up the, we are going to be bringing up the difference in public schooling and homeschooling. We're going to speak on the debates that the nation has had on and off the newspapers all over the place. We have been seeing how, you know, homeschooling has been put down, and other people are arguing that it's been just well enough. As a matter of fact, it's just as successful, if not more so. We're going to be speaking on now how that applies to the African-American community in addition to what already is going on with it. So you all know how this goes. My pre-discussion song, when we get back after we're from our sponsors, we will be getting this discussion started. So tonight I want to go out with actually an inspirational song from Kirk Franklin, and it's called How It Used to Be. I'll be back after the imminent word from our sponsors. Don't go away.
Can I be real for a minute? This life can pull on you, man. Sometimes you can lose your way. I ain't perfect. This is real talk right here. My second chance was gone. The ship was out of sail.
falling me.
See, you gotta understand.
Every time a wound heals,
something else.
Something else takes the healing away. And even when I've gone too far,
'cause you love me,
you know that will come back. I'ma let your love let it go. And if it comes back,
if it comes back,
then it's back today.
Before I mess up,
you already know.
No matter what I do,
I belong to only you.
Like the prodigal son,
run to your arms and say, hey, hey, hey.
I can't do this no more.
I know it's a
game
now. I forgot who I was. Got caught up in the trap.
Please.
Figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, and this is your Lifeline segment. I first want to add a little bit of an announcement. I'd like to invite you all, if you are in the Toledo area, to visit us in our terrestrial sister station out there on 93.1 FM Jam Pack Radio on Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m. So whenever you miss a show here or you are not able to listen in live, you can actually listen in again on Sundays from 3 to 5, and that is under Devon Lewis at the 93.1 FM station. Okay, everybody, tonight we are going to be speaking about trying a road to repair, homeschooling our black children. I'm going to start off with what it is we do know about a few things we speak about often. A, the state of our youth today, and especially of those of us speaking on this panel, the state of African-American youth. They deal with twice of the pressures because the racism situation is alive and well. They deal with whatever happens on a normal, universal basis. There's an extra addition or an extra pressure or an extra intensity or a whole different, unique way that they have to deal with it, that we have to deal with it. So let's speak on a few things. Let's talk about the public school system. As you know, the public schools have been in the news for things that are atrocious and horrendous, okay? It has been our longest term. Actually, it started off with homeschooling, but eventually went to public facilities, where now you have schoolhouses and other sorts of facilities that have our children going to school funded by the government. And it started off okay for many years, but lately that's not what we're getting for our kids. We're getting more gang violence. We're getting sexual harassment. We're getting bombings in the school. We're getting kids firing shots. We're having kids come to school with drugs. We have the peer pressures of bullying. We have overworked and underpaid instructors. We have racist instructors. We have instructors that are being told now to follow an agenda that, for those teachers who truly still care, they're under pressure now to follow some new protocol that is done for funding or is done for some other agenda other than what is educating our children. Let's speak about the fact that we have standardized tests. Standardized tests, you know, at least in New York City, we have them where nothing about what your child has actually been able to do or what their real progress is what the state tests these children on. Nor is their final grade reliant upon what they've done all year, what they truly understand, but merely on the scores that these children receive. Lately, the arts have been taken out of the schools and public school because they don't want to put in money to something that they don't feel is strictly keeping our kids at work. Meanwhile, everybody knows that even in life, you know, you have to have a balance of things. It can't be all work and no play. It can't be all studies and no break. You'll have overload. You'll burn out. Leading these children to have the pressures of testing, and then if they freeze on tests and then they still have a bad grade, even though they do well all year, that lowers their morale. That puts a pressure on them that shouldn't be because of the fact that they should be able to understand the work and not have to just understand a test. So there's many things there. Let's talk about the fact that there's the pressure of if you send your child to school because the night before they fell and they got a bruise, you have to worry about strangers interrogating your children outside of class. You have to worry about teachers labeling your children whenever they're having a bad day at school, that they're going to grow up and become drug addicts or drug dealers, or they're going to be in jail somewhere, which more so is the label and tags put on the African-American children. There's been many a debate of homeschooling versus public schooling. There have been debates about the government or the cities saying that homeschooling takes away children's socialization skills. Homeschooling can hide abuse or neglect in the homes. Homeschooling cut short the ability for children to learn about other cultures. Okay, well, that's the main argument that's been on there, and it's been going around for years. Yet there's been nothing that you can definitively say is A, true, and B, has caused any of the problems that our children are going through today. Or we can relate to why our children are in a state of disarray. Let's start speaking on what they say homeschooling does and how it is that it's not the big problem that they're trying to put it out, and which begs the question, what's the real agenda behind that? The government put out two acceptable methods by federal law that a parent can choose to educate their child, either by homeschooling or by public schooling. Now, we had a previous segment about the universal homeschooling and the versus public schooling, so let's talk about what took place when that came out. They say you can homeschool your child legally, but they offer no real support systems in place from the school district. They say you can homeschool your child, but yet when that child, if they should excel further along than their public school children, now they won't accept their credentials or anything that they have achieved. It will be recognized in universally. So they would still have to at some point go back to pay for a course or do something that will get what they consider a nationally accredited diploma. Okay? What happens then is when parents take their children out of schools, it takes away funding because they need students in the seats to beg for budgeting. Let's speak about that on an African-American child. What the media and society has done is portray public schools to be such a need, but not the need for education or the need for caring about education, but they have painted us out to be parents that use the school system for babysitters and pretty much meals on wheels type situation, or some place to send their kids to get them out of their hair, in so many words. Meanwhile, as I brought up in a previous segment, your children are coming home with age-appropriate homework, but they're being judged in school on not age-appropriate work. Your children are being offered parental assistance to these teachers, but these teachers are allowing your child to, if they have a behavioral problem, they're letting 2, 3, 4 incidents go with no call to the parents, and then the next thing you know, that's on their permanent record as a child labeled for lack of success in the future. Let's speak about what it is public schools do that parents homeschooling their children would do differently. Okay, A, the curriculum now is removing Black history. The curriculum now is expanding the knowledge of sex into your children, whereas maybe as a parent, you wanted to show your child things like that in a different way. Children are being exposed to bullies. The staff is either unaware, incapable, or really pretty much just ignoring the fact that this is happening. Your children are exposed to sexual situations where, as if they were at home under the care or the watchful eye of a parent, not only would a parent pick it up, but a parent can speak to their child in the way a parent should, the ultimate talk, and be able to possibly send their child out into the world with knowledge of what happens and with a better understanding of the choices they truly have. Let's talk about classism. One thing homeschooling wouldn't have to be worried about. Classism. When you're going into school and there's some children whose parents can afford to not have to use the free lunch system, they can afford to buy their children every one of those expensive, outrageous school supplies. They can give them the best of everything. Meanwhile, there's a mother over there who works just as hard, makes less money, and can't afford all those things. But your child is running into this environment on a daily basis, having to worry about being told that they're poor or made fun of. So they, in turn, come home dejected and determined to do whatever it takes at any by any means necessary to match up and fit in. Let's talk about the racism that goes on in certain schools from teachers as well as their peers. There are stories in public schools about a white teacher telling four black Haitian students to sit on the floor and eat their lunch because that's what they're used to doing like the animals they are. Something a parent or a homeschool in their area wouldn't. This tonight, the show is calling out to solutions, as we've spoken of, for us to start understanding what our options truly are and understanding that all of the things that we have this big, bad visions about or what it means to homeschool, the panic that you have about it is not all that you see, because obviously, if that's all you're stuck on, you haven't seen the options. There's a organization out now for Black America, and it's called National Black Educators. It's founded by a husband and wife team, a black husband and wife team, who homeschool. We'll keep track of the statistics on the progress made by homeschooled African Americans. There's a universal organization strictly put in place for homeschooling parents, and it's called the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, to allow parents to not be frightened or feel threatened by the pressures of the government's choice of funding, because they want to be in your business and get your child's ed as funding, and then they're going to cut the curriculum out, they're going to shorten it, they're going to make it impossible for your child to understand there are certain things that they are doing, when now they have, not only have they raised the bar on what your child needs to do, but they've taken away the extra help. They're instructing these teachers to have a certain time limit and time frame to spend on any one child, whereas back in our day, we had teachers that took however much time it needed on that one child that just couldn't catch up. Let's talk about what the benefits of homeschooling our black children by black educators are. Let's start with this. We don't have to worry about them getting bullied. Sibling rivalry is another situation, and that's what a parent is for. There's no standardized testing that doesn't celebrate the merits that your child achieved all year or what their true progress level is. The classism is out the window, because you don't have to worry about your child having to fit in with the rich kids or with the more fortunate children. Parents save money because you don't have to worry about all these dues and trip dues and clubs that you probably can't afford but your child would love to get into. You don't have to buy band instruments. There's more parental involvement with homeschooling. Whether you are a parent that's going to do it yourself or you have found a local branch of homeschoolers that with educators that are either retirees that continue to work in that respect, or educators who are just doing this because that's what they want to do, or an actual foundation of nothing but homeschoolers. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to take time out of work to be the homeschooler. But you will have a better one-on-one understanding of what your child's weaknesses and strengths are. Your child will feel a little less pressured to not look stupid or be embarrassed by some teacher that feels like picking on your kid. You won't have to worry about him having to come to the front of the board to get a big fat zero and have his bad essay read to the class so that the class can be embarrassed while they're using your child as an example of what not to be. There's no diversion in the intention of instructors or frustrated instructors because of overcrowded class sizes. So there's more attention given to your child, and there's less frustration from you or the instructor in place. Your children will be more relaxed in a familiar environment. There's no gang activity to worry about. There's no sexual harassment to worry about. There's no guy trying to hit on your daughter and convince her to do things in a locker room or whatever the case is. There's no pressure on a girl having that happen or doing that to your son. You won't have to worry about some undercover or blatant racist teacher or some pervert that's in place that nobody did a proper background check on and he has a position of power. Your child can learn at a pace that's comfortable and convenient for him or her. Let's speak about what the disadvantages are. You don't have the professional backup, if you want to call it that, right there in the room for a child to raise their hand. But on the other hand, if you choose a homeschool, you need to access all the resources put in place for that support, as well as if you have a black instructor or an instructor who is into homeschooling for that purpose, you make sure you're on top of it and ask, teach that instructor questions as to what to look for, what questions to ask. You might even be able to brush up on skills that, of course, once you become a parent, you are far removed from remembering what you learned in class. Might be a good chance for you to refresh on certain things, to be closer in communication with your child. Let's talk about what the government says. Rumors of implied anti-socialization. That's where the parents' job comes in even further, because on top of you choosing the way your child is educated, you get to choose the activities that your child does. He's not forced to participate in gym if he's unable to climb a 17-foot pole. So you could put him in a local gym in the neighborhood. You could send him to a YMCA. You could definitely make sure that his friendships are in place or her friendships are in place. You can make sure that after their assignments are done, they can go and be normal age-appropriate kids. There's nothing definitive connected to homeschooling about socialization. That is the part of whoever it is that's there. As far as cultures go, look at the stats. There's been higher instances and better socialization skills coming out of homeschool children because they have the extra addition of their parents' rules in place. Cultures being taught because, you know what, parents teach about cultures and allow their children to go out and interact. There's been a genius that came out of it that no one spoke about or they did in very brief two-sentence dismissive passing, where he knew how to speak Latin of all things. I'm Puerto Rican and I can't speak the mother language that way. He knew Latin fluently. He could play chess and beat the best of them. He can play three instruments. And he scored higher than a college kid in the second grade. They say that homeschooling will hide child abuse or abusive parental issues going on. Bingo, that's the real reason why they don't want you to homeschool. Now let's talk about what they would do. I see you there. I'll bring you right in, panelists, in just a minute. Now, add all of that you just heard, which is universal, minus a couple of the extra things that appeal specifically to the black community. And imagine what will happen if a parent decided to homeschool their African-American child by an African-American educator and how much extra those accusations would come up and how much stuff would happen. Let me bring in our panelists and I'll be right in to continue this on. Welcome to the show, Carl. You're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, Katie? It's Professor Carl Tone Jones, calling from Philly.
Hi, how are you? All right, what do you think about homeschooling our black children? Do you believe that this could be a really big road to repair?
Well, I think it's all a matter of how we address it. Like you said before, there are pros and cons. You know, the pros are the academic part, that we can ensure the self-confidence, that we can instill, how we can control the curriculum and so forth, and decide what our children learn as they adhere to the biased state and national curriculum standards. But, you know, individually, the downswing on this is possibly the lack of social interaction. But there's also been a different type of movement as well when it comes to homeschooling that I think we need to really look into, and it's the development of groups of homeschoolers being taught by retired or laid-off educators in one particular room, house, building, whatever as it may be. And I believe you guys have something like that going on in New York right now, if I'm not mistaken, where retired educators are teaching homeschooled students, and they're providing the additional supports that those students would need. Now, I think that that's the direction we need to go into terms of utilizing homeschooling and maximizing its efficiency and effectiveness in our community. So to really lay it down, I think that it is it's a step in the right direction. What we have to be careful of is with all the legislation that comes forth, if they start to put a price tag on homeschooling.
Now, you see, that's the situation as well. Now, one of the things is, I spoke with you earlier and I told you that I ran across a site that was all about homeschooling black children. And this was founded by an African-American husband and wife couple that believed in this too, had problems with the children either not fitting in academically, which usually when a child doesn't fit in academically is one of two things. Either there's a way that they need to understand the teaching and the teacher is too frustrated or too uninterested in being able to appeal to that child's specific way of learning, okay, which a good educator would be able to reach all types. So that's one of the things that I see is why kids don't get it. All right, the next thing is the peer pressure. Okay, if you have a child that's being celebrated because they know the work off the hand and they're doing X, Y, and Z, that's what you're going to see, and that's what the child who's having a little bit of struggle learning, okay, is going to have to feel that they need to meet up to it all times. That's another thing. The other problem that I see with this is the government allowed these two forms of education to be governmentally accepted. However, they did everything in their power to not outright say, no, you can't, but they damn sure made it bad enough so that parents would feel like they really would have be giving their child a worse option to choose it. For example, if it's an equally acceptable method, then everything afforded to a public facility should be afforded to the home educators. Okay, there should be a help desk available. There should be homeschool Google things that you can actually Google and put in a query and come up with instant help and support as teachers do. There should be site. It shouldn't be just one organization who is in place because they don't like what they see coming from the outsiders. Go ahead, what were you going to say, sir?
Well, when you really check, dig deep in terms of all these movements, when you look at separatist movements, when you look at the people who are considered like silent citizens movements, all these different movements, the whole objective was that these movements were initially started by angry white parents or angry white people who did not like the integration practices or the integration laws that were passed. So they would consider themselves finding ways to segregate themselves from the population. So first it started with private schools. Well, first it was in school. Then it started with private schools. Then it started with the charter. Now you have the charter school systems and all the public schools are shutting down. And then now we have this big movement. And let's not mistake it. This movement was started by white parents who wanted to get their children out of public schools because they didn't want them to have interaction with people of other races. However, we can take this method and benefit off of it with capitalizing on the situation at hand. It's like the old saying, just because this situation isn't for you doesn't mean you can't capitalize off of it. So one of the things we need to recognize is that in this particular position, we need to stop worrying about them and that. The one thing I tell black people all the time, and is that we need to get rid of two words in our vocabulary, them and they, because we cannot expect them to clean up the mess that they made for us, especially when it's beneficial for them. So we need to develop our own database, and we need to develop our own curriculum. And, I'm dealing with some people on a different level that are interested in creating their own, creating our own academic curriculums and so forth. I've even spoken to Patrick in private, and we've even had conversations about the possibilities of setting up curriculums and so forth. And I think it's something we need to move towards, is setting up our own curriculum, school systems. And because We don't have to, and this is something that we really ought to focus on. We don't need their permission to do it. We can continue to do these things. It's just like with the media, spreading information. We control social media just by pressing the share button on whatever we're doing. We control this. Why do we need to always maintain or allow them to dictate to us what we need to do for us? They're not going to allow us. I mean, your oppressor is never going to put you in a position to surpass them. So we have to take control of the situation, and I think we need to build that database you're talking about, that support group that you're talking about. I think we need to do that. We need to take the initiative and be the ones who control our own destinies, especially considering the bounty of this all. Our children, this is the future for us and our children. This is their lives now, and we need to make sure that we put them in the best position to succeed.
You know what? You're absolutely right, and good, because everything that you're speaking on is speaking to the angle of repair. Caller, I see you there. I'll get you in just a minute. One of the things that I also found kind of ironic, or you could even say contradictory, is the government tries to put that the diversity angle will be taken away if the person homeschools. Yet they removed a child's right to see Jesus, or they're trying to anyway, to speak of Jesus or speak of their beliefs in Black history. They removed a lot of the personal freedoms that we are allowed to have, no matter where we are, for the sake of other people not being influenced by it or whatever the case is. So my question to that is, what do they think the diversity angle is being shortcut when they do that?
A lot of it is just double speak and double talk. You see, when you say things like diversity, it's really, diversity is not nothing for us. You know, as the Black community, we don't need any more diversity to learn about the white community. We're taught white supremacy every day, 24 hours a day, every breath that we breathe. We're taught white supremacy. We're fed it. Set on TV, we give them white supremacy. We don't need a diversity. It's the white community that needs diversity. But the problem is that they speak in with a forked tongue, because they never truly address the issues within their own community and concerns of racism and so forth. They always want to put the pressure on the group that's being oppressed to do something about racism. So that, you know, I just take that remark. I would just take that and with a grain of salt, because it's not a sincere motion. It's not a sincere gesture. It's basically put in place because they've recognized the potential for us to take advantage of this situation and to become enamored. Remember this, and I need for you to remember this. Everybody needs to remember this, that the white community is a very, very, they're very good purveyors of history. They understand how when slavery was finally abolished in 1865, they recognized how quickly these Black communities went off all over the country.
Yep.
And you know, these Black communities, you know, just exploded with the economic stimulus, the academics, you know, the fastest learned readers of anywhere recorded history. 50 years after slavery, half the population was already literate, you know. So this is a tool that we can use to even and level out the playing field. So they're going to try to put the onus and the pressure on us to so that we don't take full advantage of the opportunity that's ahead for us.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100% on that. And I thought about the story where the girl was told she couldn't write about Malcolm X because, according to them, he was violent, or there was violence in his movement. Yet they never said a thing about the white kid that was writing about Jeffrey Dahmer.
Well, that's racism, white supremacy showing its ugly head.
And which brings us to the point of tonight's topic is, this is, we're trying to get on the road to repair here. And like I said, if we as a people started to look deeper, we would find resources that we don't believe exist. And then we would see that the resources are directed and geared for and to us. Okay? Now, digging in a little bit today, looking into research for homeschooling in particular, I came across the National Black Educators. Read a little further, it was founded by a couple that's an African-American couple with kids. They homeschool. Okay, something that on the surface level, which is something we usually adhere to, we didn't look to see and find. Then I looked a little further, and the Universal Support Network for Homeschoolers, which is a homeschool legal defense association, HSLDA, everybody knows them, they offer great resources and support and networking to people who decide to homeschool. We had a caller here of about a month or two back who's a homeschooler herself. Okay, out in Tennessee. So there are plenty of things that we can do when we don't know. So many people, the first thing in this pre-broadcast question that I had gotten back, while many agreed that it was a good way to go, so many people, the first thing they said was, well, a lot of parents don't know how to teach. A lot of parents have to give up their jobs. A lot of parents are on drugs or something and would not know what to do, or you'll subject the kid to that. Forgetting the fact, as I say every time I post it out, to read between the lines. Who's said that the homeschoolers had to be the parents?
Exactly.
How about the parents chose to just take their child out of the public facility and actually did their research and found that there are many educators that believe that public school is not the greatest? They're teaching our children to go pick up condoms and at the school office desk. And
yeah.
They're teaching sex in what they call age-appropriate intervals, okay, but they don't teach the children. See, that's what a parent would do, or a more personal involved person would do. They're teaching the kids all about the biology of it, and that if you throw this condom on the little boy's penis, you know, the liquids don't spread, forgetting the fact to tell them that it can break, that if you have it too long, it doesn't keep its texture, that there's emotional involvement once you share your body, that the possibility of pregnancy is not just about whether you can have an abortion or not. That's the other thing. They're teaching our kid about the morning after pill. All right, go ahead. Have sex. No problem. If you get pregnant, don't worry about it. Pop a vitamin and the kid will come out the next day in blood. No problem.
Yeah, you know, it's really reckless, but at the same time, you know, this stuff is really synonymous with what you see going on with the media, what you see going on with television and programming. I mean, have you seen the Disney Channel lately?
Oh, yeah.
Or Nickelodeon?
Oh, yeah.
You know, stuff on there today that it would have been rated R, you know, 30 years ago. So, you know, this is right along with the agenda. The idea is to take away the moral concepts that go behind those types of teaching, things of that nature. So, and children, first of all, children nowadays are being desensitized to the point overly sexualized due to the amount of sexual content in the environment, not just in the music they listen to, but the television and movies that they watch. You know, it's really taken over. So, when you put us in a position to raise our children, I want to go back to something you said real quick. I know you have another panelist you want to bring in, but you were talking about how people were making excuses, you know, as to why it wouldn't work. You know, I think we need to stop being afraid. And that's the thing, is we need to stop being afraid and say, listen, master, we're leaving the plantation now. You can close the fence when we walk out because we will not be coming back. And we need to start taking our own destiny in our own hand and stop being afraid that it won't work. You know, the self-esteem of our race has been damaged to a point now where it's like we all have Stockholm Syndrome, and we feel as though without the assistance of our oppressor, we can't do things and we can't manufacture things, and that's just not true. The fact that our history is hidden in this country and it's kept away from us, where it would have shown how many times on several different situations, multiple situations, where we did go places. And I'm not even going back to Africa. I'm talking about here in this country within the last 150 years, you know. So we have built communities in this country where we were self-sufficient, self-reliant, and we didn't depend on dominant white society input or influence. And, you know, those pages in history are shredded or missing out of the pages because the dominant society knows they depend on us as a bottom feeder class. And as long as we keep depending on them to do for us right where they want us to be, and we'll never be free of their system or their structure.
And, you know, to add to the fear factor situation, I want to point out something to our people. It is definitely evident that we are afraid. We are afraid because of what we've been conditioned to fear. But even an animal who is known to be the most gentle animal in the world will fight when cornered. Now, if we haven't been cornered enough, if we haven't sat there pretty much in modern day events and said, here, kill my son, no problem. Now, I want to bring up a little something that took place with me today, and I think a couple of our panelists read about it because I posted it on my status. I came back from a very long day of, you know, City of New York appointments, okay, not feeling well at all. My feet are hurt, and I'm coming across the bus stop to my home. Now, when I first came to the corner, there was a regular old resident person in front of their house who had backed their car out of their driveway and they took up the sidewalk area. So I had to walk around the front of their car onto their driveway ramp to get around them. Now, as I came around there, here comes a car screeching up onto the sidewalk to block my path. Okay? Two men were in the car. And they said to me, hey, how you doing? I said, fine, you're in my way. And they said, what's your name? I said, who the hell are you? We're the police. Okay, we're the police. I said, show me your badge. What's your name? I said, show me your badge. Okay, and I said, and why do you want to know my name? Because you've just been pointed out by some crime, which they didn't identify, nor did they ever take their badges out, by the way, in a whole 20 minutes of interaction. Okay, how old are you? And I said, you take a guess, because without a badge, that's the only way you're going to get that info. Still never showed me the badge. They said, well, you kind of look like you're way above 20, and the person that they pointed out was in the 20s. So what the hell are you stopping me for? Now, mind you, they're sitting up there, they're intimidating, they're doing everything that they can do to get information from me, to find out that not only am I not even in the description range that they were looking for, but I'm not even in the age range. And what they said to me was, never mind, and sped off. Now, never got a badge, never was told what the possible crime was, but they stopped me for 15 minutes on the street in the middle of a walkway in front of a church, which is exactly what our children will be going through if they continue to stay with public schooling. The racism, the classism, the frustration from the teachers that's poured onto them, the lack of testing to merit, the lack of diversity that they claim homeschooling is putting out there is really them. The lack of a child in Black History Month to be able to speak about a Black historian while they'll celebrate a white person talking about a white killer who ate people. And we are still scared. Our children are being put in walls and suspended and told that they have to come out in the blazing snowstorms or they'll get marked attendance wrong. Meanwhile, they have online portals that they allow teachers and students to interact with at all times if a child should miss just one day of school with the flu or something to that effect. Meanwhile, they can't impose those same online portals to give these kids the right to be humans and protected from bad weather by giving them online classes for that time because they're too busy worried about how much pennies and funds and dollars they'll lose if our children's asses aren't in the seats physically. because they have to let the government know that these poor black kids really have no other options but to go into an oppressive system that's telling them that they're stupid if they don't know how to capitalize and understand punctuation at the age of 5 and 6. When that's the
that,
group that they're going in? Go ahead.
Not only that, the system that they adhere to is designed to humiliate our children.
Absolutely. It's designed to tell a single mother that she can't do anything but bring her child to out in the cold to get a free meal. A free meal, by the way, which is now used to be hot meals, really good hot meals. Now it's some prepackaged garbage that they have out there or some scanty muffin you might get your kids. But they have the nerve to turn around and tell the same mother that giving the baby a bowl of cereal and some orange juice in the morning is not sufficient nutrition. And we stand back and say, okay, I need to bring in our other two panelists. They're waiting, so hang on 1 minute. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Carlos Underby Jones or Stalo Jenkins. Calling from
hi, Stalo. Hang on 1 minute.
Hey,
one more time.
Hey, hey now.
Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Good evening, KD. This is Al Tariq back in Carlos from Dothan, Alabama. Good evening to the panel as well.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on, good brother?
Okay. Taylor, we're trying a road to repair. Homeschooling our black children, do you feel that's a great first step?
I think that's an awesome first step. You know, I think that's where we needed to be for a long time. It's been my dream to have my own school, and I know it's a lot of right now, that's a big thing, and I think we all need to get in a teacher mindset. You know, all of us adults, you know, when with regards to children and with regards to people that we deal with like children, like, you know, loved ones and elders, you know, we got to be as teachers. Because a lot of elders I notice fell behind in the technology age. And a lot of us have failed to keep them abreast. You know, even in the basics. And this is the same thing with the children. The children don't even have the basics in socialization because we fed them to the lions, you know. And the thing is, you know, the curriculum building is a big step. As an educator coming in, the first thing somebody gave me, somebody, you know, I barely even knew, but got to know really well. You know, they was a good person. But they gave me something from a brother in Philadelphia was dealing with. It was from Project South. It was called The Critical Classroom. You know, it was just a little workbook on how to build a social studies type of curriculum critically. So critically always assessing the government and the contradictions in the government and everything. And it was geared towards low-income black areas, and it was geared towards these areas to help uplift the children, and it was very successful from everything that I saw looking at it. And when I used it, it was really good. I haven't been using it as much lately. But there's some curriculums already out here that are or templates that are already out here that we can look to, like the Project South one. And if anybody else knows any more, we could throw those around, right? And, you know, because we got to get out of the schools. The schools have become like prisons, you know. We more of a loving people, man. These schools have no love in them for our children. But we send them to them. In fact, they're worse than prisons because there's a reason for the prisons. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, when you really look at it, the schools are fostering the environments that are making it so profitable to build a prison. They're fostering that environment purposefully, and a lot of times then we look at ourselves so critically. You know, a lot of times we as adults have to realize, and I told this to some people today, we have to realize that sometimes we don't. We overstand what's going on. We do overstand what's going on when it comes to children. We don't give them any leeway because a lot of times a child will just appreciate the fact that you wouldn't let a situation escalate. And you don't even know which child you know, appreciated you at that moment. But a lot of times, all of the children seek the structure. But we fear them for some reason when there's nothing to fear, you know, because they're you. You know what I mean? You made them. They are you. We have been them. You know, so it's funny because that means that we have, those of us that are still afraid, have been afraid our whole lives. Deal with that and put it to rest.
Or get tired of it and do something new.
Right.
Get tired of it and do something new. That's what I say.
Because we have to hold them at a much, much higher standard than the society at large holds them. The society at large holds them to a nothing standard and allows them to live as bums. If need be, under the white man's white supremacy law, that's fine with them. And they will be there generations to come.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead, what were you saying?
No, I was going to say what you just said. I believe we had Patrick's wife who spoke about how they're kind of conditioning our children to be okay with things that's not okay. For example, she spoke about how the teacher was celebrating the boy's hard work, but not the fact that he was in need of more attention for the work itself. One of the things that both you and Professor brought up is there's definitely, and I agree with it, one thing that parenting or homeschooling can do is add the moral concepts and life lessons to the academic. Something that the school has rules and strict regulations that they can only go so far in teaching, if they're interested in teaching it at all. There are things that we can say as parents about sex that they are adhered to a specific textbook regulation. There are things we can say to our children on a more real basis that if a teacher had said that to their children, they could be up for sexual harassment or some other thing. There are things about blacks that we can teach that no, let's say, politically correct other culture can teach because they haven't lived it. We can teach them the side of us that live it. We can teach them about what racism means far beyond just the dictionary version of it.
Right.
That's
and they won't have to get shocked in the streets. They won't
Thank
have
you.
To be shocked in the streets when when things happen. Like a young man was just shot, 14 years old, just shot, blocks away from where I'm laying right now, just shot. They had pellet guns. You know, I'm not even sure the whole story, but a 14 year old is dead from the police's bullet. Not saying like, oh my God, you know what I mean? Like that's a life. A life is gone, you know? And these youngins are out here, man, they don't know, man. A lot of them don't know. A lot of them don't have the guidance. And when we was coming up, a lot of times there were some mentors. There were some older gentlemen who would say, nah, go ahead, get away from here. Even if they was doing dirt in the street, they would tell you, go ahead, get away from here, man, give you a couple dollars. Tell you, go ahead, move on, man, go ahead, do something else. And that'd keep the most savages of youngster who would be out here robbing because he's in a situation that brings him to the most degraded of forms because he doesn't have a backbone. He doesn't have the support. Yet still he's grown up and lived as a child up until a man. Now, these situations are serious for a lot of these youth. The elderly is a lot for a lot of us. Very serious.
They are serious. Before I go to Tariq, I want to allude to another thing that you just said, the prison system aspect of schools now, something that homeschooling would never allow. You understand? There would be no metal detectors. There wouldn't be you having to punch in, punch out, and figure out where it is you're supposed to be or do you belong here. There wouldn't be a teacher telling you that you need to choose another profession if you decide to do something. You wouldn't have our kids walking around being okay with a 75 when they're capable of a 99.
Exactly.
Okay, that is the deal. There wouldn't be a just passing. There wouldn't be a grade system where a child feels like if they can't understand. First of all, I'm 44. Okay, I still don't understand some series about, you know, XY plus YZ equals ZX. I mean, you know, why would I need to know that? That's the way I feel. If I know how to count my money, count my children's age, count certain things that you need in life, if I'm not becoming a rocket scientist, an architect, or something to that effect, why would that apply to me? So for somebody to feel that they're stupid because they can't get linear graphs or something to that effect, whereas homeschooling might be able to add that extra thing in where they could say, well, let's see, think about it this way. And then they can apply it to something a child can understand and be able to say, oh, so you mean to tell me that this is like if I had my roller skates or my skateboard and I went around the corner 5 times and then came back once. You know, they can understand it better that way. All right, Al Tariq, what's your take on homeschooling for black children being the road to repair?
Well, I feel as though that it's essential, and it really, you know, let alone homeschooling, you know, I feel as though, and there's some people that are trying to do it, you know, and I know of a couple people that's doing it where they're actually getting schools built up, you know, for our children, you know, and homeschooling is great as well. You know, schools period for our children will be good. It'll be great. You know, it was something that I wind up, and that's funny, I came up with that post today, and I had came across something that somebody had shared, and it was by Amos Wilson. And the question was asked, how different would our education be if we went to school to create jobs for ourselves? And that's a big part of our problem, is that we don't have nothing to give one another, really, for the most part. So in turn, you know, since we taught that, from a spiritual matter, that God is love, when it's the biggest thing it ever talked about spiritually-wise is what he gave. You know, so when you can't give things, you know, you're on the other side of that. Things are being taken from you. You know, so we've been in a situation where we came here from day one and things were always being taken away from us, and what we got in the end was scraps all the time. But we need to focus on a new day so we can stop eating scraps all the time from the tables of those who never desired for us to sit down and eat full meals with them anyway. And God bless the child who has his own. So we need to definitely be in homeschooling. We need to get our own schools. We need to get our own businesses. You know, these are the things that have to happen. That was on the post tonight that somebody asked when they asked about, you know, reparations and all that. I said, well, hey, we've been down for so long, everybody else got it, who was attacked and wage worn and all that type of stuff like that. I said, so we need it. And I said, that money can help us. And those who are smart of us are think tanks and stuff like that, so we can go ahead and start rebuilding. But I believe that it's a concerted effort because things are going the way that the system itself wanted to go. You see how they're in control of the school system, the public school systems and stuff like that, and they don't care about these kids getting education, or they would do everything they can in order to help keep them up instead of letting them fall down and letting all these kids get put out of school and be in the streets and all that, which creates further the school-to-prison pipeline. So all this is already set in motion and it's in place. There's a lot of things coming down if we don't open our eyes that we'll be further victim of. If we don't open our eyes and start teaching who we need to teach, which are the children. That's why the children have always been a big part in any movements that we had. The children was the ones who took the strongest stands because the older ones were too afraid. So it took their old children, whom they loved, to stand up in order to make the older ones stand up and stop being afraid like they was the child instead of it being the other way around.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right on that. And I will say another thing. We were speaking on the pre-broadcast discussion, and there was a particular poster, and I said I would shout him out today because he was absolutely correct. And I believe that, Professor, he alluded to something you say often. And he said that he himself, I guess, is an educator or a person that thinks, that teaches kids. He spoke about the fact that why not teach these children to actually get a career? You know, to have a career, not just think about learning your ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, but think about how to apply that to a career. I have two more panelists coming in, so allow me to bring them in. Hang on a minute. And just in case, troll officers, keep yourself up. Welcome to the show, Corey. You on the air? Hello? Okay. Let me go to the next one. Hang on. Welcome to the show, Corey. You on the air?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. It's a really interesting topic you guys are talking about. I was actually just wondering if you could clarify something. Is it harder to homeschool black children because their brains are so much smaller than white children?
Leave them alone for a minute.
Let me show you.
Well, the question
is,
let's face it, there's a huge difference between Shaniqua's grades in public school and Kevin's grades, you know what I mean? It's because science has shown that your brains are smaller.
Well, no, actually,
wow.
It doesn't show that. But what it does show is that when the system of white supremacy is threatened, that the trolls will come out. And
like
you're more self-evident of that than anything else. So we appreciate
yeah.
your candor, and we appreciate your presence here, because it allows us to see that we're on the right path here when it comes to eradicating pesky little rats like yourselves from
well,
our
kids. I appreciate your efforts to educate some of the inferiors.
Wow.
Well,
I appreciate the fact that you're sitting there after all this time for part of a person that can't stand us, and you're consistently following us.
Female nigger,
so
can you please
you.
Wait your turn to
so
speak?
Very much.
Excuse
so
me, female nigger. Can you put the male nigger back on the phone?
And wow, let me ask you a question. Is that the only word you learned in your prep school?
No, wait.
Well, see, Katie,
well,
we
hung up, as all cowards do.
Yeah, well,
darling, welcome to the show. you know that he just came on so he could get his 2 minutes of fame to say the nigger word. So,
well,
just to let you know, Mommy, you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it is. He knows that he can't get to the side, so he actually used his number this time, you stupid idiot. he came on again.
Somebody did.
Oh, yeah, he's back. He's back because he's listening to our show, and he can't help himself because, you know what, life for him is boring.
And, he found
and all the little niggers coming on, we're just
can
making him so happy. And I can guarantee you he's sitting back there with his buddy Dwight cracking up like he just did something big and just realized, made our proof about just how stupid he is. Jesus, Lord.
Yeah.
Get
him
back
to things.
Move right along.
Yeah,
well,
right.
See,
that's your intelligence situation.
Well, can I just chime in real quick, Katie? That is the same mentality that led to, you know, black communities that were successful being lynched and burnt down and the creation of sundown towns and things. People just like the person that we're just calling who are threatened by any advancement that we make because, you know, the only thing in life that some of these people have is their psychological advantage of waking up and feeling as though that no matter how bad their life is, at least they consider themselves better than black people. So when they consider, when we start talking about making moves, power moves, and things that are going to change this corrupt system, they get threatened because now you've taken everything that they have to live for, and that was the same mentality from the Jim Crow era, from plantation era to today. And that's what's surfacing right now. That's their fear that's surfacing right now. They're going to be inadequate as soon as we wake up and realize where we need to be.
Well, we can let you know that one of the very active areas right now based on this resident is in Janesville, Wisconsin. Welcome, everyone. Wisconsin area. That's where you just called from, 608 area code. You guys are just so great out there. Wow, I'm just wondering. We are definitely a race of superiors, man. Talk about inferiority. Any group of people that has to get together and decide that they can decide who is worth being a savage or not, obviously has issues themselves. You got that one, Tyler / James / Dwight / well, I'm sorry, what was it, Sir Richard the Lionheart? Jesus. Well, so we have Bite of the Future, Kwame 2, Killian 2. I mean, wow. You're all psyched now. Sit around and watch people. Sit around and do whatever. You see America, black America, why we have to homeschool our kids, because this is what we're leading our kids to when we take them to public school.
Mm-hmm.
Enough already. Go ahead, Darlene. Welcome to the show, sweetheart.
Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Hi, panel. Arlene is on a different line tonight.
Hey, what's going on, Darlene?
Hello, panel.
Hi.
I just love it when we get attention. That just tickles my fanny.
Oh, Lord.
We are so important. We just have no idea how much. And the impact that it will cause once we realize just how important we are. When we start to utilize our importance in society as a whole, then we will begin to see the jewels that we were supposed to have anyway. Now, my take on homeschooling, it has its pros and cons. Of course, everything does. But the con would only be that you would limit your child from verbal abuse, harassment, being bullied.
People from Wisconsin?
You heard me? You said people from Wisconsin. Yes, they must stay away from them. But, yeah, but the advantage, oh, is so much greater than the disadvantage. The advantage of that is that we will be more in control. As a parent, it will put our parency back in place. It would allow us to teach our children what we feel they should know on top of the academic level educational prep, okay? Our children will grow up to be better men and women, because they will be more stable. They would have a foundation to hold on to. One of the other cons is that they won't. I don't believe that once you give them, train them for the integrity and the morals and the this and the that, there might be things that they might want that's name brand, but it won't be as intense as it is now, trying to keep up with the Joneses, having people laugh at you because you don't have Nike, Jordans, whatever. So
right.
You know what? I think it would be a beautiful thing, and I love Wisconsin now. I'm gonna go on Facebook and search out some people from Wisconsin so they can know we representing people of New York.
Now you see, if we were as small brained as he's trying to imply, I would have asked him, do you think that, you know, white people need to homeschool because their penises are so small?
But you know what? But the thing for me is that they just, you know what it is, Katie? I truly believe that they are so angry because they have taken us, they have taken everything away from us except our spirit. They are so mad that they cannot damper our spirit. Our feeling of hope, our feeling of worthiness. I mean, they affected most of our people, but they didn't get us all. And see, we are the ones who they didn't get us off. And they don't like it because, like, our ancestors did. They took the strikes. You know what I'm saying? They took the abuse. They took the water hosing. They took the you can't drink from the fountain. They took the you can't sit in the back. You have to sit in the back of the bus and you can't come through the front door. They took all of that and still had pride, still had spirit, still had hope. So they can do whatever they want to do. But they can't take that.
They can take our money and we'll still live. They can take our food vouchers and we'll still get food.
That's it.
Don't get it. In the middle of all of your oppression, you have set steps there and made us even stronger because we can do things you guys could never do. And you couldn't do it back then because you needed us to do everything. So you know what? It's a sad thing that it has to come to this point that everybody now has to start speaking that way. But let me explain to you what I need in homeschooling. I am sick and tired of our children having to have a special education curriculum. I'm sick and tired of us having to be treated as if, okay, there's this way and there's the way it is for you. I'm sick and tired of us having to tell our children once again to put their hands up because idiots like that, the ones that just came on, all right, think the way they do. Then they'll turn around when we say it and say, you know what, you guys are reverse racist. Well, I don't know what to tell you. If all you've ever said to us is that we're dark, we're spooks, we're darkies, we're niggers, we're everything but what our mama named us.
But you know what, Katie, let me just say this, and I'm going to shut me down because Arlene is dealing with another type of phone, and she needs to use my phone. She can't cue in. But anyway, I just need to bring some laughter into the scenario because, you know, if we don't find any joy in whatever we do, we find depression. I think, this is only my opinion now, I think that they built all of those extra tall buildings just so their people can jump off, really.
Well, if you put your validation into materialistic things or how much you can show people you have, that'll definitely be something that will lead to that. Your sister wants to come on?
Yeah. Hi, panel. Hi, Katie.
How you doing?
Hey.
I am just in awe. I mean, I think I want to get on a bus and visit Michigan. Take me in Wisconsin. But what I honestly feel is that, you know how we don't do that. They the ones that do that. You know how when you see something foreign and you don't know how it works on the outside, so they go in and they try to dissect everything and then put it back together?
Mm-hmm.
See, they feel like they've done that to us. And they have to a certain degree. But I think they're more angry because they cannot locate what we have that keeps us motivated and hopeful. And what we have that they don't have, straight don't have, is resiliency. And see, resiliency is in our spirit, so they are never going to locate that. You know what I mean? They might be able to find out about how we dress, how we wear our hair, how we raise our kids, what we like as far as electronics. They'll learn a lot of stuff about us, but our ability to be resilient, they will never be able to touch that.
And that's what
keeps them scared. Because see, I'm so proud to be a black sister. Why? Because if I lose my job today, I'm not jumping off the roof. I know how to make bean soup and potluck, and I know how to survive. I have survival techniques. See, they don't have that either.
And you're not a baby.
That's why they jump off as soon as they say you fired. Like, give me a minute. and you go upstairs, and that, you don't see him no more.
Well, I will reiterate on tonight's topic because we got a couple of new panelists in, but we are speaking on trying a road to repair homeschooling our black children. We're speaking on the atrocities of the public school system today, okay? We send our children to school. We don't know if they're coming back because one of the possibly Wisconsin people will get mad at their mommies and come and bomb the school. We might have to deal with the fact that our children could go in innocent and come back pregnant. We have to deal with the fact that they are going in with the hope and confidence of the world on their shoulders and coming back with nothing but being told that they're going to be dead in jail or thugs. All right, we deal with the media constantly depicting us as fighting clowns that cheat on our wives all the time or have baby mamas, baby daddies, then we don't do anything but want to get a free ride for nothing. You know, these are the things that we deal with. And we have teachers now either ignoring or telling our children straight up that they might as well choose a different profession. They might as well eat on the floor because they're animals. You know, that's not for you. We have children being told that it's Black History Month, but you can't celebrate a black leader. You don't mind telling a white child that they can celebrate a serial killer and a cannibal to boot. We can't let our children go to school praying and talking about their faith because that might interrupt the flow of other people around them, whereas we were supposed to be a country built on our diverse freedom. We have a government that walks around scared to death of whatever it is they can't see, dissect, understand, feel, or smell. Mm. And they turn around and say, anything that looks like a good idea but ain't coming from us must be a problem, so let's eradicate it.
But you know what, too, Katie? The worst part of all of what you said, the bottom line is, our children are failing anyway. With all of that going on, when you look at the stats, they have it plastered all over the newspaper how our kids are failing, how the schools, how they're closing schools, how, you know, certain schools are not doing well. And then, but my thing is this, these kids get more days out of school than I've ever seen in my entire life. Mm-hmm. They don't even know why they out of school. They just know they out of school. That's all them damn Jewish holidays. Our children are not Jewish. If they can't stay out of school and be acknowledged for Black Solidarity Day, why is it that all? I mean, because the Jews got a holiday 2-3 times out of the month. There is just holidays all year round for them. And the schools are closed because of that. You understand what I'm saying? But yet and still, you're going to turn around and say our children are not in school enough. You want to give them summer school to make up for the time that they're missing throughout the year. If you stop closing the school for some of them damn Jewish holidays, they wouldn't be out so much.
How about closing?
So our kids are up against a whole lot of stuff. So when it comes to the home training, the homeschooling, I think that is such a plus. Why? Because our children will be taught with the love that a parent has for the child, as well as the education that they need. They will be taught about their culture and their heritage. They will be taught about things that are really, really needed as they grow into adulthood and start thinking about what's career-oriented. You know what I'm saying? So it's some pros and there's some cons, but I think the pros outweigh the cons because if you're teaching your child, you know that he's learning. You understand what I'm saying? When you send your child to school, you don't know if they learn one damn thing for the day.
Exactly. And I want to allude to something that you said a little bit earlier where you said the bottom line. The bottom line goes a little further. The bottom line goes back to us. We have to make the decision to say, you know what, we're scared, but we have to be more scared that our children will not have what they're supposed to have. We have to be more scared that they are closing schools, whole schools, by the drones. There's a panelist that used to come on often, LaShonda Mosley, lives in Flint, Michigan. ask her if she has one school that's around her now. And the one school they have that they're shipping their kids off to is overcrowded. Ask anybody that's out there that doesn't understand why their child in first grade is being graded on a fifth grade curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain to your kid when they come home that they were suspended because they said the word Jesus in school? Why do our children have to be subjected to that? Because there's a couple of bored, overprivileged brats that don't know anything. Okay? Why are our children being adhered to you must pass gym in order to pass academics? Gym is a real big thing. Yes, I understand. It's healthy. You need to do something. But should that be a requirement in curriculum to pass? Should children have to go to summer school to take gym only? Makes no sense. But Professor said the perfect word, bringing the moral concept back. You said the next important word, the love and respect. I said it in a different way where parents can teach life lessons as well as academic ones. And now let's start talking about what it is that we see as odds that are really overcomable. And in our last bit of this segment, that's what I want to address. Let's talk about the fact that they say, okay, let's speak about what they listed. Socialization could be a problem. The children won't be able to socialize. Why is that? What are you going to do, put them in a rocket ship on space somewhere? that's my question. You have every right as a parent to make the same sound decisions for your child on a regular basis as you do as a homeschooling parent, whether you are the actual homeschooler or you send your child to a private facility to be homeschooled, okay? There's no reason why your children can't still go play basketball with their friends, can't still go to the movies, can't still interact with other people.
Right. Well, here, Katie,
one of the things we can do,
and I think this is a way to rebuild the community, is that with these children that are being homeschooled, we can assign them to clubs. We can assign them to programs and activities where they're coming in touch with both men and women that are serving not only as guys and facilitators, but also serving as mentors. And we can start doing rites of passages, programs and things of that nature so that they understand the importance that they bring to the community. One of the things you touched on earlier was about that I focused on our youth getting careers, and that's partly true. I focus on our youth becoming entrepreneurs and learning how to manage business systems and things of that nature. That I think one of the tools, one of the things is, especially with the group homeschooling concepts, is that we will be as entrepreneurs setting up a business opportunity because those teachers that we bring in will have to be compensated via a stipend or some way or another. So that is creating a business opportunity also. And we can start implementing our own schools of science, military science. And Dr. Umar Johnson talks about this a lot, because we are right now at war with this system of white supremacy. You know, one of the trolls called in earlier just to take a shot across the bow. So we need to start teaching them how to do that, agricultural science, as well as political science. And one thing we must teach our children, we must teach them about this system of white supremacy racism, because it is real, and they need to know what they're up against once they step outside the doors.
Absolutely. Now, going back to what the other disadvantage was spoken about, hiding child abuse. How about A, we stop assuming that every black parent is beating their kid? That would be the one thing, because the average parent isn't abusing their child. How about we stop assuming that the exceptional cases, or that I should see the exception to the rule cases, are out there as the norm? And then we could stop trying to use that as one of your little fear factors. The other thing, they say a big advantage, yes, this one is a very good one, and that is a lot of parents don't have the same certifications or understanding of curriculum to teach the way an actual professional educator would. Well, going back to what I said earlier, who said it has to be the parent strictly being a homeschooler? How about we start seeking out local branches of people who are educating in this manner and send our kids there? Ask our questions up front. What is it we don't want our children to be involved with? What kind of facility will respect our parental request? If it's something that we request that the schools will do anyway, let them explain in a way that makes progressive sense why they would continue to do it, but they can take out X, Y, and Z if the parent is that upset with it. How about we stop forcing our children to see certain things or deal with certain things simply because the media says so? How about we do that? How about we give a damn? How about we teach them how to be the people that we are in a way where they don't always have to be loud so that we can handle idiots like what just came on the show not too long ago? How about we do that? How about we look out the local people who are out there as us for us? Okay? Another thing, here's another opportunity. Since the government allows both education methods, how about we have a 50% network and figure out whatever we need to go to the school for and ask questions that they are required to give it to us? How about we start mandating that these people open up more flowing resources available for when we fall short of understanding something? How about we demand that the government accept and as accredited certification the diplomas that our homeschool children receive? How about we do that as a people? How about we start understanding that we have the right to form and do whatever it is that we would like to do as a group and choose who we do it to the same way they do? And as you said earlier, Professor, how about we stop being afraid?
Yeah.
How about we stop being afraid? Okay, give me 1 second. Just, guys, I'm not going to break anything. I just need to check something very quickly. Because I'm having a feeling that we might have another full situation. 1 second. I'm sure we do. So let me bring us in, okay? Hold on 1 second. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hello, my name is Chris. I'm not trying to troll. I support homeschool.
Okay.
I don't have any children, but I know quite a few ladies who live in Florida. And they homeschool their children because, you know, in the school, there are people having sex in the bathroom and all kinds of things. And so they have their kids at home learning where they can teach them, you know, the religion they want. They can teach them the types of, sexual, you know, the stuff they teach in school about sexual education. They can do that at their own pace. And the thing is that the federal government does not have any delegated powers vested to them, so they're not even allowed to have the Department of Education and shouldn't be involved in schools. And I think that them being involved in schools is what really screwed schools up. And I know the title is Homeschooling Our Black Children, and I know I'm white, but I just felt like I could share. I'm glad to see that you guys, like your show, you as well are supporting homeschooling. I think that more American families need to homeschool their children, get them out of the public education system, because they try to get you to memorize things and they indoctrinate your children, whereas at home they can learn and be critical thinkers, free thinkers. And I'm just calling to support what you're doing. And I understand that black children would have it much differently than white children, because racism is never going to go away. I understand that. It's something that is taught to the children by their parents. If you see like babies, they don't care. They're friends, and it's not until the mother says, "I don't want you to talk to her anymore." And so there is always racism. People will say that there is no racism today, and that was years, hundreds of years ago. It's not like that. I've seen it myself, and I've seen it with my own eyes, and I hear the things, and I have friends who will crack jokes, and I won't laugh at them because it's not funny. Now, I see people as individuals, not as a group. But, yeah, I just wanted to call in and let you know I support homeschooling 100%. I think, you know, keep it up and get the word out there to get more people to homeschool. It's a great thing you're doing.
I appreciate that, and I will say this. I have a rule on the show, and it's like, if the shoes don't fit you, don't put them on. So I'm not applying control to everybody if you're not one. But I will say, if you've been listening and you hear what goes on, and yes, racism is alive and well. That's one of the things that we have to get understood among everybody, because everybody wants to hush it and not say that it's there when it's clearly there. So I support homeschooling as well. I support homeschooling as well, and I think that there's a whole lot more that can come from it, because there's no outside interferences trying to influence the way things are said and done.
Right, and I hear about instructors or teachers always trying to, they campaign for different candidates in politics and try to get your children. If they're in school, they try to get your children to believe that they should follow this candidate or that candidate, and that's not something that should be discussed in school at all.
Yeah.
I believe that, too.
It's all illegal because a national curriculum is illegal in America according to the Constitution. And what they've done with the standardized tests, they've marginalized so many groups and created these prison pipelines that are inherently racist, and the public school system is basically only in place for that reason, and you know, I guess everything else is almost like collateral damage to an extent.
Yeah,
indeed.
And two thumbs up for you, young man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
What's here?
Excellent.
You, Professor, your take. Professor?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not Patrick, I'm sorry, Al-Tariq.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your take on what was just said. Oh, you there, Professor?
Yeah. You know, I like to mute my phone sometimes so you don't hear me moving around back here. I'm having a party. you know, my take on that, he's accurate in everything that he said. And I keep telling people, you really need to read Charlotte Isabite's Deliberate Dumbing Down of Education. And even if you just watch her documentary on it, she'll tell you all about how power structures were put in place by policymakers and neocons in order to create a system of subservient, dumbed-down, drone-like, zombie-like society, whereas you separate the classes. And you separate the class where you would have the elite to economic class, and you would have the extremely poor class. And it would be the total elimination of the middle class. So that was all based on education, and just like the young man has said, you know, schools nowadays are based on memorization. They've taken everything creatively out of classrooms. There are very few schools that practice the arts. There are very few schools that practice hands-on learning, mechanical classes, or things where a shop or home ec. None of those classes are available anymore in the majority of schools you go to. And especially in highly densely populated inner cities, you know, throughout the country. Those are the places where the school districts are affected the most. Now, to add to that and to talk about where your plan what can we get out of this and what can we do to this, well, let's just say so we can remove the government out of our classrooms in terms of our curriculums, in terms of building up our children, in terms of presenting them with real opportunities. And as the teachers in these classrooms and so forth, we can also present them with economic opportunities, because at least we'll know the attitude of our students. And we can provide that, and it'll give the community more incentive to build and work with group economic principles and to build more for the future, because who doesn't want to build something for their children?
Mm-hmm.
And we can also eliminate the prison pipeline, that pipeline to prison, that's based on getting our children hooked in special ed. So there's something really big on the horizon that I didn't touch on. The fact that more and more in every year, they're closing more and more schools. And, Katie, you touched on it earlier when you were talking about what was going on up there in Michigan. Well, that's not just going on in Michigan. Here in Philadelphia, the school board themselves had to reject the budget from the state of Pennsylvania because the state of Pennsylvania wanted to cut the budget and slash about 300 more teachers this year.
It's going on in New York, too. And as we spoke about the last couple of segments, everybody's trying to divert from the elephant in the room. And it's
right.
A big, fat elephant. So definitely, the young man here just said, you know, racism is alive and well. You know, like I said, we have conditioned ourselves to keep on putting more and more tint on our glasses so we don't see it. I believe that Arlene alluded to saying that if you say you don't know, you're exempt from responsibility when things go wrong. But understand, our children are at stake. And while this is, we are definitely contributing to it being about Black America, it's only because we go through extra, and that's just the way it is. And there are things that we are not afforded as backup plans or as a bailout because for whatever reason, we're the race everybody wants to sit there and say is the worst race or we're not valued. But one of the things that the curriculum is doing is promoting more sex, is promoting more violence, is promoting more, as you say, Professor, dumbing down. It's not teaching you to aspire to be, you know, a leader one day. It's aspiring you to be the biggest janitor you can be.
And let me tell you something, too, Katie. You know, I was just on the phone. It was a show that I was on, and I'll probably never go back on that show again. But these young brothers and sisters out there are frustrated. And they're frustrated to a point where they're ready to take it to the streets, they're ready to take up arms, they're ready to build militias. And being as though I know a lot about political science, I also understand that that's the particular tactic that the Homeland Security is waiting for, that's the particular tactic that the FEMA camps FEMA's waiting for. So, you know, we need to get to the point where we get a hold of these young brothers and sisters before they go out there and commit tactical suicide for trying to take on a government that has them outgunned, outnumbered, and outmaneuvered. And one of the ways we can do this is if we get our hands on them before they develop that resentment, not just for the system, but for us for not being there for them and protecting them from this system.
You know, you're so right. You're absolutely right. Okay, that they're like walking into a genocide, and that's for sure. Now, there was a movie that I watched. It was a movie geared toward teens about cyberbullying, okay? That's another aspect of public school that I believe would be out of the way because homeschooling parents definitely can choose a little more carefully how much Internet their children can receive. Now, we're not speaking about homeschooling, removing them from reality, because once they leave the shelter of homeschooling, they've still got to go out to the store, to the movies, to the parks. They're going to deal with these things. But as a homeschooling parent, you have more of a one-on-one time to teach them more from a parenting standpoint as well. One of the things that a 350-student school couldn't possibly entertain the intimacy in that. Okay, more instructors are overpaid, are overworked, underpaid, fully frustrated, very restricted. There's things that got to be said politically correct. CPAs are not getting the support that they should be getting from the people who create the tea in that. You know, and as a matter of fact, I dealt with the school where I was PTA president two of the 4 years I was on it. Okay, the laws of our regulations from the chancellor say that no official school board person is supposed to be involved with the Parent Teacher Association's meetings, because there's certain things that can be said when they feel that, that the head honcho isn't sitting there watching or observing. All right? But this particular principal refused to adhere to that. She tried to find ways to say it's my, forget the regulations, it's my school. Now this woman went so far as to because I, when I became the president, I actually started making up newsletters and creating flyers and things like that to encourage the different coaches in the school to come forth and vote on us having something that celebrated the coaches in the school. When we got to Black History Month, I had gotten a radio DJ that was of a famous station out here to come in to speak on how she has hardships as a big personality, what she encourages children to really look to and get their face out of the glamour of things, because behind the closed doors, it's not all it's cracked up to be. So with all of that being said, when she figured out that we were having that particular event, she did everything in her power to shut it down. The same way she did everything in her power to shut down a parent's newsletter that was designed to celebrate the individual child. For example, I said, if you would like to see your child's birthday celebrated in the newsletter, sign the submission slip and fill in your child's information. Well, she had the nerve to tell me that I wasn't allowed to do that because there's some kids that are Jehovah's Witnesses that don't believe in celebrating their children's birthdays. I said, well, if that's the case, why the hell does each classroom have not only my child's first name, but second, but last name, and date of birth listed on a big, what they call a garden poster, celebrating the classroom for any visiting person to come see? Because the school has to remain open to random visits by the state. So you can have my child's information up there because you're the school, but you're telling me that we're restricted as a parent association, creating parent newsletters to celebrate our children. We need permission? And I explained to her that no child's birthday gets published without the parent writing a specific permission slip for it to be done so. All the parents liked it. She had a problem with it. She went to the point of even trying to solicit three parents to try to heckle me, even every time we had a meeting, just so she can get this non-white culture thing out the way. So homeschooling, we don't have to worry about somebody abusing their power for their personal problems. We don't have to worry about people telling our children that gay is okay if they're not really gay, or that being dressed in one way when you really don't want to is mandated. That not celebrating something that is part of your culture on a culture month is acceptable. We have to do that. We have spoken repeatedly about how we already know that the big master plan in place is never going to allow us to go storm the front. But they can't take away our personal choices to do things personally. When we stop looking at the fear of what's out there, as you say, the them, they, and us, and this and that, and start looking at the us, we'll get it. When we start holding people accountable that while they may not like it, they still need our vote to get in office. And don't mind us being valuable when they spam email us to death talking about us as if they knew us forever. Come election time, start educating our children into understanding that the voting process is a lot more important when you do it every 2 years for a senator as opposed to coming out once every 4 years for a president. Because the president answers to a board. I appreciate all the callers, including the contradictory ones that call in, because everybody's viewpoint is heard, noted, and respected. Not only that, everybody's viewpoints attest to their true character. You support homeschooling Mr. Ohio, very good. Because you know what? I do too. And I think that if all of us pulled together and became parents first and put the school system where it belongs, because without parents, there'd be no school system.
Yeah.
We would get it. If we got past our fear and start thinking more like the protective beings that we're supposed to be for our children, believe me, the instincts will kick in. We have desensitized ourselves. We have allowed them to devalue us, We have allowed them to take away the value of humanity. We have allowed them to come into our communities and allowed us to emasculate and effeminize ourselves. Break ourselves down, talk about ourselves, sell ourselves out. Pretty much, in essence, fail our children. And if that's too rough for anybody to hear, then clearly you're not trying to get the message. Our children look to us first. We are their first man and woman in their life. We are their first safety net. We are their ultimate safety net. We are their backup plan. And if we're sitting up here saying, what you see out there is all I can offer you, son or daughter, what the hell are our jobs then? Exactly. As you said before, Professor, using Facebook for marketing, using Facebook for true networking, using Facebook for progressive knowledge. Not just going out there to sit there and look like fools while Mark Zuckerberg gets more billions and while he laughs at us. If you haven't seen that, how many of you have gotten emails or inbox messages from people you don't even know, but supposedly there's a security and privacy settings in place? I know I have. I have people saying, hi, nice to meet you, you're beautiful, I've seen you this, I've seen you that. And I don't know where the hell they come from or even know what their neck of the woods is.
Mm-hmm.
But I can guarantee you on his personal computer, he's got every type of app blocker you can think of.
Oh, well, you know, Katie, the thing that I try to stress out to us all is we have the power to control our destiny. True, I'm the first person to talk about reparations, and I think that they're necessary, and I think that they're just. But at the same time, until we get our reparations, we do have the power to control a vast percentage, a large percentage of the things that goes on in our communities. I mean, look at it like this. In our communities, nobody comes in our communities to frequent our social spots. Nobody comes in our communities to frequent our own businesses that, you know, the very few of them that exist there. But people, when they do come to our community, they come to our community to take something away. They come to our communities to put a business in place to drain our dollars and our economies away. They come to our communities to build a school so that they will have jobs. So when we start taking those powers from them, and when we start opening our own schools, when we start manufacturing our own businesses, when we stop going to the restaurants or the stores that aren't built by us, that don't support us, that don't reinvest in us, and when we start putting all of our economic arsenal into the things we can produce, then we can create the black community. Because that's, you know, we speak about the black community, but really we don't have, our community is not there. Our community is a vision of what once was and what can be, right, but can be again. So we can build a community, and having these schools is a great start. Having these homeschools is a great start, because we get the manipulators who destroy the ambition and destroy the drive of our children out of the way. We toss that monkey right out the room, and we get to invest in our children we get to build up their esteem as well as prepare for them to have something when they're done, when they completed their passage through our system of rights, so that we can have a community once again.
Absolutely. We're down to our last 3 minutes, so I have to close out the show tonight. But I want to thank every single one of you. We, you know what? Nobody is holding us in front of a literal vacuum to take us and suck out our money to give to these people. Nobody is standing there literally with a gun to our head saying that we can't choose how we parent our children. We're allowing them to let this happen. And we need to start learning how to network with everyone that we can network with, but to build for us, to us, with us. So until tomorrow night, everybody, be blessed. Be a blessing. Make a difference. Thank you all for showing up. Thank you to the new caller. Thank you to the idiot. I want to thank every single one of you for being here and supporting. Have a great night, everybody, and God bless.
Good night, panel. Good night, Katie.
Good night.
I say.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.